Mike Papantonio is known as America's lawyer, but he is so much more than that. An insightful analyst of culture and politics, he's the host of Ring of Fire Radio. He's frequently called upon to comment on the day's news on television and radio programs. As busy as he is, we've got a distinct advantage in getting him to sit down for a few minutes with us, since we are his grateful guests in the Ring of Fire studios this week. Pap, welcome back to State of Belief Radio.
Not only my guest, but a longtime friend. Let's not forget who was there in Air America days when nobody else wasn't. You know, it was me and you.
You're exactly right. Well, look, I mean, it's that time of the year. Labor Day's behind us now. The campaign season is swinging into high gear. What are you keeping your eye on?
It's kind of the backstory of midterms. We find out that the Koch brothers had their advisor, I call him their private little hitman. His name is Mr. Fink. And one thing that Mr. Fink said is the way that they're going to win is to scare everybody in believing that if they don't win, that fascism is going to prevail in America. And I thought that that was an interesting way for him to talk about the midterm elections, that, gee whiz, you better get out and you better vote Republican, because if you don't, fascism is going to prevail. What was so sad about that is that in that room when he was talking to these folks, these are mega billionaires sitting all around Mr. Fink when he has this discussion, and they know first it takes megabucks, industrialists and banking capitalists, to replace government control with control by industrialists and banking capitalists. Those were the people in the room, Weldon. They are the fascists. These folks in that room know that this is always accomplished by spreading around mind-boggling amounts of money that can infect the media. They own the media. People in that room, they own the media. Where the media doesn't report the truth about corporate industrialists and their attempt to usurp government, the people in that room that Mr. Fink was talking to, they also said that there has to be enough money to spread around where major check and balances don't take place in institutions, where you have government checks and balances that are replaced by industrialists, governing bodies from the very ground up. And here's what we're going to see in midterms. You're going to see them looking at elections that have to do with everything from dog catcher up to the governor. Now, the average progressive, because they're so naive, because Democrats have talked them into being naive, all we're paying our attention to is what's happening in the White House, what's happening in the Senate. We're looking at the big shiny things. But the guys that Mr. Fink was talking to in that room, well, they know this. They want to win from the bottom up. They want to win governors and state legislatures all the way up to national bodies such as Congress and the Senate, because that's how fascism prevails. You got to start from ground up. That is one of the hallmarks of fascism. That's how you do it. Just as important, they have to capture the judicial system from the ground up. How do they know that? Because they saw it happen in Berlin. They saw it happen in Italy. They've seen it with Pinochet. They've seen it time and time again. They know exactly how you go about bringing fascism together, and you got to have the judiciary.
How powerful are the culture war issues going to be as tools for inducing that fear and trying to win votes?
Well, the cultural wars is where it all started. The culture wars was where you had Lee Atwater understand that the racist, the evangelical, really frenzy fringe of the evangelicals in the South can be made to do anything if you can just scare the hell out of them. And so Lee Atwater went about scaring them. And one way that he went about scaring them was to say exactly what's being said by Mr. Fink in that room. Let me come back to Mr. Fink.
Okay.
Mr. Fink said fascism is here. That is exactly what Lee Atwater used to talk about. Lee Atwater used to talk about, they're coming to your church. They want to change your religion. They're coming for your guns, just like they did in Berlin. Mr. Fink's speech to the fascists that were in that room was exactly the speech that Lee Atwater was given to the populace when he started his Southern strategy. Here, the industrialists have arrived at this point where they're almost there. They've almost arrived, because the major institutions that they have control over at this point, they actually control the civil justice process. They control the military. And what happens when you have such control over the media, over the judiciary, over the government agencies, over the regulatory agencies? to where you have such control, to where you can actually make telephone calls and you can make the civil enforcement organizations do what you want them to do. The people in that room that Mr. Fink was talking to, they know that that's kind of the last part of it. The real irony here is that the average American has such a small understanding about what's happening around them day to day. Day to day, you have them wondering, well, what, you know, what's Kim Kardashian going to wear? You know, it's like the frog in the pot boiling water. They don't even see that all this is happening right before their eyes.
Yeah. Well, I take it that we're going to see the influence of unregulated campaign contributions again this time.
Oh, absolutely. One reason is because you're going to see this midterm very theme-based, okay? In order to have a theme-based campaign, which is Obama is inept in foreign policy, and that inept quality flows all the way down to the senators and the congressmen, they have to find something to grab a hold of, right? And so right now, I'm telling you, the theme is going to be fascism is here, the liberals are going to bring it to us, but it takes a lot of money to deliver that. In that room was probably 70% all the money that flows to these PACs, mm-hmm. 70% all the money that flows to political organizations, to the Republican Party. In that room was the money. And so Fink was trying to say to them, we can confuse the American public to where they believe that liberalism is the same as fascism. Mm-hmm. We can convince them that socialism is the same as fascism. Now, you and I know how ridiculous that is. But the average person out there watching Fox television reads and comprehends on something like a 6th or 7th grade level. I think those are the numbers. Mm-hmm. And they can be sold that. Now, you're going to see that theme. Mr. Mm-hmm. Fink launched that theme in the room 2 days ago. And you're going to see that theme again and again come up throughout this election, the midterm.
Pap, do you think some of the foreign crises challenging the Obama administration will have a significant impact on voters in both the state and local elections?
It certainly will. And right now, what's scaring me is the Democrats do what they typically do, and that is not to react, not to push back. Democrats, as you and I have talked about so often, are so willing to show up at a gunfight with a knife. And it just doesn't work. The bullets travel a lot faster. So the Democrats...
I don't believe I used that analogy.
Well, I think we've said it maybe one way or another. That's my analogy. And the way this all works, Weldon, is this. The Democrats have a great talking point here. You know what it is? The Democrats could be saying, you know, as we hear the John McCain types criticizing Obama, we need to remember that John McCain helped invent ISIS. We need to put some of this blame back on the people who decided all the way back in Afghanistan days that we need to arm the Afghans against the Soviets, and that out of there came al-Qaeda and, more importantly, came bin Laden. We need to remind the American public that these big mouths, the John McCains and Lindsey Graham types, the Wolfowitz types, the Dick Cheney types, these war pimps, we need to remind them that they made ISIS what it was, because what ended up happening was this. Out of Afghanistan, you had a merger between ISIS and al-Qaeda. When al-Qaeda and ISIS merged together, the first thing they did is they used that force to try to knock down Libya. Remember that. They joined hands. They said, we're going to knock down Gaddafi, and we're going to become stronger. We're going to have the Islamic State spread all over the world, and we're going to start right here. So at that point, what did the United States do? I've got pictures of John McCain with his arms around ISIS soldiers saying that these are the people we really need to be able to trust. Okay? We've got pictures of all of these war pimp politicians who armed ISIS, who armed al-Qaeda, and said, go get them, because at that moment, we thought that was going to be a good thing. Next thing we know, al-Qaeda sees ISIS as such a fanatical threat that they all start distancing themselves, right? But that doesn't stop the United States from embracing them. The next thing we know, we have ISIS going after Assad. Right? Syria. Mm-hmm. And we love that. McCain shows up again, puts his arms around ISIS, says, these are our guys. These are their freedom fighters. No, these are the people that just beheaded two of our journalists and have massacred thousands and thousands of people. But this is John McCain's guys. These are his mm-hmm. people, you see. Mm-hmm. when they start invading Syria, we arm them more. We give them more arms. We give them more money. We give them more bombs. We give them more moral support. We build ISIS.
What about domestic issues, the fallout of Ferguson, Missouri on race, the paralysis of Congress, the ongoing border situation?
You know what the numbers show?
What?
People don't care. They don't care. If you look at the numbers, Ferguson was a story that seemed hot. Now, the population who understands what's happening to them, if you have African-Americans, Latinos that don't understand what kind of a metaphor we can look at when we look at Ferguson, and mm-hmm. they can look at what's going to happen to them in years to come, they're concerned. Now, that may get them to show up. If they show up, that's wonderful because they're protecting themselves. Average American does not care. Mm-hmm. Average American does not care that we don't have a solution to the border right now. You know why? Because the Republicans are pushing this whole issue with ISIS, and they're trying to put it on our president. And what are they doing? They're doing exactly what we've seen them do. Scare tactics. Soccer mom, you better be terrified. ISIS is coming for you, okay? And we got a president, and we got Democrats that don't know what to do with it. Democrats, rather than fighting back, sit there and take it because they just don't get it still.
Pap, I can't have us sitting here talking in Florida without asking you if there's anything specific to Florida election, your politics that you need to mention.
Well, you got Charlie Crist right now fighting for his life. He's fighting for his life when you have a governor that's put more people out of work than we can count, that closed down the high-speed rail, that gave more tax benefits to corporations than any governor in the history of this state, that has cut down education, destroyed unions, destroying our environment. We've got a guy that's so dense where it comes to environmental issues, they had to bring in a professor to talk to him about what climate change was all about. The entire time they were talking, that 20 minutes, Governor Scott never asked one question. He sat there with that goofy, idiotic smile on his face, understanding he doesn't really care because he's in the pocket of corporate America. And right now you have Charlie Crist that is actually down in the polls and can't buy enough ad time to win this election because Governor Scott and all of his corporate types have bought all the airtime up.
Mike Papantonio is a popular guest on TV news programs. You can see why, and he is the host of Ring of Fire Radio. Thank you, as always, for being with us today on State of Belief Radio and for once again welcoming us back to this Ring of Fire studio.
You're welcome here anytime you want.